coming up next to the stage, another veteran of this show. Actually, a veteran of the Nerdalogs, although not currently one of the active members, but he is directing a musical for us, which is a mashup of Full House and Sweeney Todd. If you'd like to hear more, I'll tell you about it at the end. But it's really, really great. What if Danny Tanner, one night a year, went out and killed a drunk driver? That's the premise. And it's director Mr. Andrew Bentley. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Andrew Bentley.
Hey, Andrew.
Hi.
As a child, I was an iconoclast. Not intentionally, of course. Like most kids, I was, in place of any real comprehensive philosophical schema, possessed instead of a collection of loose, instinctual suppositions, founded in free association and cabled together with a sparking thicket of faulty logical wiring. My most deeply held principles were the product of cargo cultish reverence for those small kernels of adult intrigue which slipped the bonds of discretion and filtered down through the sieve of the prepubescent attention span and into my thirsty brain. There was, as always, a concerted campaign by the state to formally educate me. But those tenets of the establishment were interested in seeing inculcated ephemeral dross like math, religion, and good citizenship were of little interest to me. I was similarly indisposed towards homework, organized sports, television, girls, boys, bike riding, paper mache, and God. I was about as punk rock as it's possible for a suburban teetotalist virgin to be. And all the more so because it was without the smallest trace of intention on my part. As I've said, I had no iconoclastic agenda. I didn't even have any particular aesthetic convictions beyond a favorite color, blue, and a strong opinion on dinosaur shirts. Awesome. Rather, I was fervently and myopically fixated on a narrow set of esoteric interests, with no special desire to slot them into a broader foundation of holistic learning. Some of these interests were things like mythology and historical warfare. At age 11, I could differentiate between Scylla and Fenris and explain the finer details of Wellington's campaign in Europe, but not reliably keep my shoes tied. But my prevailing fascination was with the secrets of the adult world. The internet of the late 90s was a rugged frontier unfolding before us, an unknowable pandemonium where Google still fought it out with the likes of Dogpile and Angel Fire, and cultural figures like Barney and Mr. T ate balls for our entertainment to the dulcet tones of the hamster dance. Society had not quite yet surrendered the purview of education to Wikipedia and Pornhub, but there was a chink in the wall, and I pressed my eyes to this portal with the consuming fascination of a Quasimodo, a Phantom of the Opera, or any of the other great chuds of literature. I was not alone. My social circle consisted of four or five other such maladroit expeditionists, all of us blazing like Promethean brands and all of us unable to satisfactorily catch a baseball. We convened in private covens in the lunchroom or at recess, pooling our heretical knowledge and sharing words of power, synonyms for the vagina that could be suffixed with .com and typed in with sweaty fingers into the Safari address bar. We talked about sex like a band of Sasquatch might celebrate victory over an RV, with great enthusiasm and no understanding, parading their totems through the Warren clad in grand hats fashioned from bras and plastic tableware. It was not just sex that interested us. We savored the juice of all forbidden fruits, for in juvenile delinquency, we had finally found our religion. Our testaments were the anarchist's cookbook and other such documents, crammed onto floppy disks and circulated like relics. We juggled M80s like Pentecostal snakes, and siphoned gas from lawnmowers to fuel the pyres on which we sacrificed the action figures of our childhood. We never built any bombs, but we could have, probably, and that was enough for us. We roamed the neighborhoods at night in brutal campaigns of inconsequential mischief, like peeing in yard fountains and stealing shopping carts from Food Lion. As we transformed from awkward, gangling boys into awkward, gangling teenagers, our projects escalated. We built a working flamethrower out of a super soaker and a fire hose nozzle and escaped the Fairfax County Police when a molten Darth Maul unexpectedly slipped his bonds and started a small sewer fire. For years, we were the unstoppable scourge of a few frustrated neighbors. And then, suddenly, insidiously, the establishment won. We were corralled into the mainstream of human interests, not by the firm hand of responsibility, but by the sly and beckoning finger of mundane temptation. As our voices dropped and our scraggly chin beards flourished, we were seduced back into the fold of society by the ever-reliable sirens of sex and liquor. Pursuit of those twin treasures calmed us, coaxed us together with the preps and the jocks and all the other strata of regimented normality. By the time we headed off to college, We had been predictably sluiced into various trenches of harmless counterculture, finally broken down by the vast chugging organs of the man into recognizable, albeit nerdy, composite sugars. Simultaneously, the prized relics of our clandestine worship were trivialized. Today, YouTube will walk you step by step through how to build a nuclear missile, and the arcane obscenities we so diligently divined are mockingly arrayed in menu bars of impossibly aggregated cornucopias of smut. For today's kids, the odyssey of joyous alienation that consumed my grade school years can doubtless be accomplished in a rainy afternoon, and I cannot help but pity those poor souls who have been artlessly robbed of their empty rebellion. They'll have to make a real difference. For these pitiful bastards, the world has been stripped of the veil, and they are left with nothing but pursuits of inelegant utility. They might as well learn trigonometry, or baseball, or how to cook. Very few of them will grow up to be trivia hosts or unpaid storytellers. Maybe none. Hell, if we give them a couple decades, they'll probably go and cure cancer or global warming just out of boredom. What a bunch of suckers. Thank you.
I'm shocked. You look like such a nice boy. How could you do those things? Does your mother know? I'm just kidding. Thank you so much, Andrew. Oh, man. It's so funny that you dress so sharply. It's such a professional-looking person telling that story. Me up here in the fucking Skeletor t-shirt, I have no stories like that. I was as straight-laced as you could have been, man.